Division 4, Ravished by Love, Song of Solomon, Chapter 4. Behold, thou art fair, my love, behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang a thousand bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Song of Solomon 4, verses 1 through 5. We marvel at the tender grace of God as set forth in this type. Solomon does not chide the Shulamite. Instead, he heaps upon her the most flattering blandishments as expressed in this chapter. In the first 5 verses of chapter 4, there is a remarkable and beautiful correspondence between Solomon's heart view of the Shulamite and the divine description of the spirit-moved members of the body, the church, wherein we see gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. The dove always refers to the Holy Spirit. To have dove's eyes is to see as the Holy Spirit sees, and typifies those members of the church who have the gift of discernment. They see as God sees, because he makes them to see thus. They readily discern the spiritual state of other people and the condition of a meeting. Oftentimes, they see exactly what is lacking and what the cause of that lack is. Hence, they know the remedy and how to pray. The dove also sees a great way off. So also those saints who are the divinely pointed eyes to the assembly. They are made to see far in the distance. Therefore, other saints often think that they are wild or fanatical or claiming too much. As the body of the dove is safe in following her eyes, so is the vision of those whom God has set for eyes to the church. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Her hair is full, long, and strong. In the natural, if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, in deference to her husband, who is her head. The head of the woman is man. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Woman acknowledges the headship of man and her subjection to him by wearing her hair long. This is her glory, her strength. What a crown of beauty to a woman is her long hair. Hair symbolizes those in the church who most lovingly, emphatically, and constantly acknowledge the headship of Christ and most fervently maintain the attitude of absolute dependence upon him. This is their strength, their beauty, and their glory. These are the goat's hair of the assembly. Gilead means heap of witness, or rolling forever. Therefore, the testimony of such entire subjection to Christ, figured by the waving hair, rolls on forever. It acknowledges Christ to have been the sin offering by whose death their intimate place as his bride was purchased. They hailed that they are not their own, but are bought with a price. Thy teeth are like a flock shorn, which come up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Such teeth are clean, white, even, and fully developed. Every tooth is in its proper place in the mouth and fully serviceable. The teeth represent those saints who receive the word of God as it reads and rightly divide it, straightly cut it for the whole body. The front teeth bite off the food. The larger teeth, molars, more hidden, grind the food for mastication. Thus, some preachers give out chunks of truth to the audience. Others, less prominent but necessarily stronger, so divide and subdivide, arrange and compare truth with truth as to make it most palatable and nourishing to the whole assembly. Wondrous ways of wisdom, words of weight and wealth, are that now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. A woman's lips indicate the depth of her affection. The Shulamite appears to be very affectionate. some saints are lips to the assembly. They love Jesus with a depth and intensity indescribable. They are carried away with the love of God that provided such a wondrous redemption. They are melted and subdued with the love of Jesus who died such a shameful and painful death for them. They exclaim, "We love him because he first loved us." These are the blazing indices of the love that flames in the assembly. In close conjunction with this is the next item, speech. "And thy speech is comely." In the antitype we read, "For to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another prophecy," 1 Corinthians 12 verses 8 through 10. Such speech is of course comely. It comforts, it instructs, it builds up, it establishes. But note how that the comeliness is apparent to the bridegroom. He beholds the fervent love indicated by the scarlet lips and appreciates the comely words as the glowing outflow of a heart of love, the wholesome, praiseful fruit of the lips. "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. Who would not covet the loving approbation of the heavenly Solomon? "Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks." Here the temples include the cheeks, the happy blooming flush of health. These pinkish temples symbolize those members of the assembly who are especially the index of the happy healthiness of the mind of Christ. It is significant that this state is seen between the locks. That is, the strong saints are a backbone and strength to the happy and healthy ones, and the healthy ones grace and adorn the strong ones, even as dove's eyes are sight to the strong. "Thy neck is like the tower of David builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men." The neck speaks of tender support. Here it prefigures the helps of 1 Corinthians 12:28. There are those believers who are a neck. They render kind support and pity to weaker saints. They are always seen lovingly running to grab and hold up the building when it would seem to topple over. Tempted, discouraged believers are constantly running to them and falling upon their necks. They have unbounded charity and patience for and with others. They are a place of refuge for the storm-driven. They furnish armor for the warriors. "Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins which feed among the lilies." Here is suggested the possibility of fruitfulness and the necessary ability to give nourishment. The saints who are developed in faith, joy, and truth furnish the sincere milk of the word for babes in Christ. The roes feeding among the lilies indicate the growing condition of such believers. That is, they themselves are nourished by the living word, whereby they are enabled to minister to others. But what pity that to so many God must say, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Hebrews 5 verse 12. Glancing back over this eightfold tribute, praise of the Shulamite, what a perfect picture we have of the pure virgin which the Holy Spirit espoused to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2. This is God's view of what Christ's body, the church, should be, because we are in Christ provisionally, sanctified in Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 1:2, and in him we are complete, made full, Colossians 2 verse 10, although in actual experience we may not be so. The bridehood is no doubt the prize of our high calling in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3, 4. Is not this what Paul means in saying, "I count all things lost that I may win Christ and be found in him," Philippians 3, 8. For this we are apprehended of Christ. But who of us will lay hold upon the hope set before us, this particular hope, Hebrews 6, 18. All we enjoy from God is by his grace. Who of us will be imitators of Paul and be thus minded to follow after, if that we may apprehend that for which we are apprehended of Christ? Philippians 3:12. Who will fully abandon all and so run in the victory, joy, and strength of the Lord as to ravish him with the eyes and with one chain of the neck? Especially comforting. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Song of Solomon 4, verse 6. Christ encourages his bride to make her calling and election sure, for he is praying for her on the Mount of Myrrh and Frankincense. Until the shadows of unbelief flee away and the day of glory breaks, our heavenly lover is in the secret place of intercession. While we are here in the world, yielding to God and walking in the light and helping others, Jesus is praying for us that we may overcome every obstacle. The Mountain of Myrrh speaks of Christ's sufferings, which is the basis of the fragrance and effectiveness of every petition of his as well as ours. Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, and the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Song of Solomon 4, verses 7 and 8. This whole chapter is a deep appreciative description of the Shulamite by Solomon. Previously, he had addressed her as my fair one, my dove, and repeatedly as my love. But in chapter 4, 6 times he speaks of her as spouse. This indicates a much deeper mutual attachment and suggests betrothal. Therefore, the king invites the Shulamite to look at all things from his point of view. Lebanon means very white because its eastern ridge is covered with perpetual snow. Amana means integrity and truth. Shinar means coat of mail or armor. Hermon means destruction or let him be accursed. Galatians 1:8. Now that she is to be his bride, he no longer wants her to be chiefly concerned about her complexion and service. Song of Solomon 1 verses 5 through 6. Nor about his activities. Song of Solomon 2, verses 9 through 17. He wants her to view everything and everybody from the standpoint of whiteness or purity, integrity and truth, and herself as being armored or equipped and as freed from every curse. Just so our heavenly lover deals with us. He shows his deep love and seeks our close fellowship, but we act a little indifferent to it. We are too busy quelling quarrels or writing articles. While he is waiting for and wanting our worship, we are occupied with others. So he tries us. Jesus makes as if he would leave us. He does not answer prayer. Heaven's door seems closed. Then we realize the reason and begin to worship him and magnify his grace, and presently we feel his nearness and love again.